Thanks, everybody, for stopping by and making Paranormal Prowlers podcast part of your morning, day, night, graveyard shift, whenever you listen and wherever you are listening from sleepy, cozy town to the hustle and bustle of the biggest of cities and everything in between, it is greatly appreciated. Those tunes were courtesy of the lovely Bobby Mackey, and I had asked him to do that song for me when a firefighter friend of mine had passed away. Because when I met Bobby Mackey, he was singing that to me. We were having a conversation, and all of a sudden, he just started singing it. He wasn't on stage or anything, but my sister and I were just like totally stoked that here he is singing for us, just in this private little VIP room at Bobby Mackey's, which was demolished like a few days ago. So, I'm so glad we got to go there. I used this song. I liked it so much that I asked if he could send it to me. And so he did. He sang it and he sent it to me. And this is a tribute memorial episode for the amazing Jerry Pauly. And I hate that we have to do this. There's a lot of these going around, and it is just absolutely the saddest thing possible that he is no longer here. This week's special city shoutouts go to Newark, New York, San Leandro, California, Sand Springs, Oklahoma, St. Petersburg, Florida, Scarborough, Maine, and Rochester, England. In the early hours of Thanksgiving, the paranormal community and the podcast community lost a very, very important person, a special, loving, and caring gentleman, someone that I consider very lucky to call my friend. Jerry Pauly was a father, a husband, a stepfather, a son, a brother, an uncle, and so much more. Now, sadly, we never met in person, but we've been friends for around 7-8 years. And we're winding back to my radio show days when every Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern time, I went live for an hour with my worldwide radio show, the Paranormal Prowlers radio show. And I don't even remember how we started talking, but I knew he had a podcast called Hillbilly Horror Stories with his lovely wife, Tracy. So I invite them on the radio show where we had a great time talking. If I remember correctly, we went over the hour. Sometimes that happened. And we just talked about their podcast and about just so many other different things and experiences that both of these individuals had with the paranormal and supernatural. That was several years ago, but we stayed in touch, and I was on their podcast a couple of times. And Jerry did voiceover for me on the podcast. And sadly, he never got to be on the podcast. But I'm going to play that recording that he did of the voiceover so we could have just the part of Jerry's special voice on here. And here that is. Now, he actually did two versions for me, so you're going to be hearing both of those versions.
Any ruler who shall do evil or wickedness to this coffin, may Heman not accept any goods he offers, and may his heir not inherit. Any ruler who shall do evil or wickedness to this coffin, may Heman not accept any goods he offers, and may his heir not inherit.
And that was for the King Tut curse. So that was a pretty cool episode, and I was so happy to have him be part of it. I asked if he wanted to, and he said sure. He was always up for anything, really. Just such a sweet, amazing person. So speaking of podcasts, Jerry helped me get my foot through the door and hopping on that podcast train. I was kind of done, if you will, with radio. It just wasn't rewarding to me, and it was so much work, and I didn't have control of, you know, there were outages or just different things. And I was getting really sick of it, and I was really stressed out. Grateful as I was for the people who got me in to radio, as we're still friends. But yeah, I just wanted to hang my radio hat up. I knew Jerry was the person to talk to. I knew that he was very successful and had a wonderful podcast with his wife. And I had a list of questions, and I called him one day, and we talked for well over an hour, and he answered every single question. He gave me advice, tips, the do's and the don'ts for the paranormal. And we had a really good talk. And to this day, if people ask me, I've had friends or family ask me, hey, you have a podcast, like, you know, talk to me about it. I will share that advice that Jerry Pauly had given me. I know he lives on through things like that and just so much more. My heart, love, thoughts and prayers truly do go out to Jerry's family, friends, and fans that he had earned throughout the years, worldwide fans, but especially his dear beloved wife, Tracy, and his children. They're in my thoughts and prayers. And please do the same. Jerry and Tracy's podcast is huge. If you haven't heard of them, please check it out. It's Hillbilly Horror Stories. I truly recommend you check it out for sure. Now, a couple episodes back, I did mention a troll. And the target in the troll's eye was my second book. Now, as mentioned before, each chapter is dedicated to one person and their experiences with the unknown. Jerry Pauly was one of those people. I would like to read his chapter now, and what you are about to hear are words spoken by the amazing, phenomenal Jerry Pauly and his phenomenally beautiful wife, Tracy Pauly. What you are about to hear are true accounts about the paranormal and supernatural. And if I am able to find the old radio show recording, which I have been unsuccessful so far, I will play that at a later date. And afterwards, I have several people that also shared things about Jerry. So I am super stoked about this. So many people said so many amazing, heartfelt things about this wonderful individual. So here we go. Jerry and Tracy are a husband and wife comedic team. They have a very well-known podcast that is lovingly called Hillbilly Horror Stories. Originally, it started off as Jerry and a dear friend of his named Ricky. This lasted for quite a few episodes, but then with schedule changes and what have you, the podcast ended up being Jerry and his lovely wife Tracy. Together, they're quite the team. They touch down on a variety of interesting cases from haunted homes, haunted dolls, and everything near and far between. They get some pretty phenomenal guests on their podcast, including yours truly. You can also hear people sharing their experiences with the paranormal as well, and some of these experiences are mind-blowing. Jerry will do deep research and share paranormal stories, legends, and so on, and there's a lot of back and forth with him and Tracy. And together, they are Hillbilly Horror Stories. These experiences you are about to hear are as told by Hillbilly Horror Stories podcaster Jerry Pauly, with Tracy to follow. So in this book, when people would share stories, I would kind of just title it. So this story is titled Life in a Haunted House. And again, these are words Jerry spoke with me. I recorded it. Wrote it all down. So word by word, this is him. I've got several experiences. I'll tell you a couple of them. When I was 13 years old, I moved into this house with my parents. And about that time that we were moving in, my grandfather had passed away. He was my great-grandfather. He was my mom's grandfather. He practically raised her, and she was devastated by this event. I can remember a time when we were sitting in the house. We hadn't lived there for very long, probably 3-4 months. She was really grief-stricken. And it was one of those prayer TV shows. I think it was the 700 Club. I'm not exactly sure, but it was one of those shows. They had a call-in number, and you could call, and they would pray with you. That kind of thing. We were just sitting there. She was on the phone talking to them, and I was just sitting there beside her. At this time, we had one of those old console TV sets. You know, the real big things like furniture with a TV built into it. At the time, we had some stuff sitting on top of the television, one of which was like a doll chair, and it had stuff sitting on top of it. And I remember there was Elmer's glue. We had been doing housework, and there were house numbers, metal numbers sitting on it, so it was weighted down. So as we're sitting there, and she's talking to this prayer line, this thing pops off of the television. It went about a foot and a half into the air, then falls to the floor where everything scatters. Granted, nobody was near this thing. Nobody else was in the house. We just looked at each other, and that was the very first sign that things were happening. And from that point on, things really escalated. We had situations to where my mom would hear things in the attic, like moving around. She came and woke me up one night, and I sat there and listened. I didn't hear anything, so I went back to bed. Next night, she woke me up again and said, "Hey, I'm sorry, I'm hearing stuff. Can you come in here?" I go in there and sit down with her, and I started hearing some of the same stuff. We couldn't figure out what it was. My dad looked up in the attic the next day, and there was no sign of rodents or anything of that nature. That was the first thing. Then we started hearing voices. While I would be lying in bed, I could hear voices whispering in the air conditioning and heating panel ducts. You could make out several different voices. These types of things went on in the house for a course of 2 to 3 years. It was extremely creepy, and it's something we had to just deal with. At one time, we could hear a baby cry, and in the area where we lived, there were no babies. We would hear this on a regular basis. Everyone in the family would hear it. It just got to the point where there were so many noises and voices that you could hear. And I actually went out and bought a stereo and put it right next to my bed. So when these things would happen, I would just play the music and drown it out. It was really something growing up. I was around 13 years old when this first started happening, and it was really something that grabbed you. Hey, there's things in this world that you can't explain, but you have to be able to coexist somehow, some way. The problem was that years later, we never felt threatened. That was the thing. But 2 or 3 years down the road, things took a turn, darker, more sinister. For example, we would sit, me and my two sisters, we would sit in the back room and do what kids would do. We would play video games, like when Atari first came out, showing my age. We would sit there and start to see shadows on the wall that you just couldn't explain. All of us would see it, and it would come to the point where we would stand up and run out of the room as fast as we could. There was another instance where this was the only instance where I was really scared of something. I'm lying in my bed. It was the day of a big football game, so I was really excited. I woke up a bit early. It was a beautiful day. No rain was in the forecast. It was probably 6 a.m., and I'm just lying in bed. Well, first I hear something tap on my window, almost like if someone had a roofing nail and was tapping on the glass, metal on the glass. And I started hearing heavy breathing, almost like a, I'm trying to rationalize in my head, what is going on here? Is it a sick cow? Because that's what it sounded like. There's no cows in the neighborhood, so maybe down the street? This guy had a horse, so maybe? I'm trying to go through all this stuff in my head. And at that time, as I'm thinking what it could be, this breathing really picked up. Then it slammed into my window so loud that I ran out of my room and stayed out until it was daylight outside. I went out and I looked, and there was nothing that could have been tapping on my window. It came across as evil to me. It just really seemed that way to me, and that's the only time I experienced something like that in my life. My great-grandpa's death triggered this whole event. We didn't know any history behind the house. Oddly, what we did do, my parents called in some psychics from the college in Louisville, and they came in and did what I guess you can call a séance. They told us a lot of stuff. We didn't tell them anything. We just told them we were having experiences. They came in, went into one of the rooms, and then lit some candles, did some stuff, said some stuff, they came out and tell us their version of what happened on our property. Back in the pioneer days, there was a man and a woman. The woman was pregnant out of wedlock. The woman's father actually killed her and the baby. He buried them at the side of the house, our house. It was kind of odd because there was a big patch over there that always was a little lower. Nothing ever grew over there, unlike the rest of the yard. They happened to pick that out and tell us. It kind of made sense to what we already knew about that side of the yard. He then killed the gentleman that got her pregnant and threw him in the back. Where that was, that is where we were having the problem seeing the shadows. And my room, where we were hearing the noises, they were all back in that spot. It's very odd. The baby. That would explain the baby crying. The guy killing his whole family could explain there being an evil presence in the house. You got places where people are buried where we were getting a ton of the activity. My dad, he still lives there. They've had that house for about 40 years now. Most of those events were quite a long time for the most part. He still experiences some stuff. My mom passed away 10 years ago this past December. We've had several instances that involve my mom, and it doesn't really surprise me. She was very open during her time here on Earth. She was a little sensitive towards these things. It's not a surprise that she can somehow come back in the afterlife and make her presence known. The next story I titled, Everything is All Right. I had a situation probably 9 years ago. I was doing comedy in this little hole-in-the-wall bar. I was just getting things going. I got there kind of early. I was going over my material, and I walked up to the bar area because the show was kind of in a separate little room. So I walk up to the bar area, and there was a couple of bikers there. A woman probably in her late 40s and a guy about the same age. They had the typical biker look, the beard, the leather, all that stuff. I just start talking to them and I ask them if they're staying for the show. They let me know they didn't know there was a show. And I'm telling them about it and we're just shooting the breeze. They're telling me jokes and I'm telling them jokes. And I go back in the showroom to get ready, and they come in there and sit down. And I thought, well, I kind of want to sit here and go over my material, have some private time. But they came in and sat down, so I felt obligated to go and sit down and talk to them. So I go over and sit down, and we're talking, and once again, just shooting the breeze, nothing important. And the lady suddenly looks at me and says, your mom wants you to know that everything is all right. Well, obviously, they don't know me. They don't know of my mom's passing. It had been really recent at this point, just around 7 or 8 months. And I'm thinking that they are just trying to make some joke, and I didn't get it, but I laugh. I kind of just played it off. And the guy reached over and put his hand on top of mine and said, no, we're serious. Your mom wants us to let you know that everything is going to be okay. I felt like a ton of bricks just hit me. We then went on to have a conversation for the next 10 minutes that I remember very little of because it was just so intense and so mind-blowing. It all just escapes me. We sat there and talked about how my relationship with my mom wasn't the greatest over the last 6, 7 years and how regretful I am at how things ended. They went on to tell me all this stuff about how she thinks I could be doing bigger and better things other than little hole-in-the-wall bars. She just wanted me to know that everything was okay, and it didn't matter how things were in the past, that all things are forgiven. As soon as we were finished with the conversation, they got up and they left. Never seen them before, and I've never seen them since. That was my eye-opening experience, that no matter what I believed before, I now know that there is a life after death, because she had come and talked to me. I have talked to my mom several times since then in one way, shape, or form. It's hard for me to talk about. If I get really in depth and think about it, it's hard to do without getting emotional. It's probably the strongest feeling I have ever had in my entire life. Next story is titled, A Visit from Grandma. I talked to my sister on the phone today. My niece, who is about 4 years old, walked into one of those back rooms. She said how she talked to Grandma and how she had long black hair. There's not a picture of my mom anywhere around that house where she had long black hair. We have pictures of her like that, but this little girl had never seen any of these pictures. She described my mom perfectly, as she used to look around 30 years ago, roughly. So it's kind of funny that she would come out and describe her out of the blue. As far as she's been around, there's hardly been any talk of my mom or anything about my mom. She obviously has never met her, but she felt the need to come out and tell us that she talked to her and that mom told her that she loved her. This was today when I heard about this. I think without a doubt that she watches over my dad. Next story is titled, A Dear Friend Saying Goodbye. Our 1 year anniversary for our podcast was August 21st, 2017. This comes into play because this is one of my best friend's birthdays. His birthday and my birthday are 1 day apart. Mine is August 22nd. So we always celebrate together, but here's the situation. In September, it will be 5 years since he had passed away. The story I'm going to tell you will tie into that. What I want to talk about is why I chose his birthday to start the podcast. And the reason for that is when I decided I was going to do a paranormal podcast, I started rehashing in my head all the paranormal things that have happened to me. One of the things that really stood out, like I said, this September will be 5 years. My wife and I were in bed. We were going on a trip to Nashville that next day. It's Friday night. Just kind of laying back and relaxing. It's pretty early, around 11 or so, and we're watching TV. The TV just goes off. We think that's odd. We turn it back on with no problem. We watch TV for a while longer without it going off again. Well, next thing, we go to bed. Now it's around midnight. We turn the TV off. We're probably laying there for around 15 minutes or so, and the TV comes back on. We don't have the remote anywhere near us or anything. I turn it off. Probably 30 seconds later, it turns on again. I turn it off again. This happens 3 more times for the next couple of minutes. Eventually, I get up and I unplug the TV. The next morning, we head to Nashville and we stay the night there. Sunday morning, we go on a boat ride. I get a call from my best friend, which is his brother, and he tells me, "Hey, I hate to tell you this, but Kevin has passed away." I was floored. It turns out they found him that morning. And at the time of the call, it was 2 in the afternoon. He went off the side of the road during a bad storm and he hit a tree. It took a couple days to find him. He was kind of hidden down there. As it turns out, he went off the road around midnight, Friday night, the same time we were having the occurrences with the television going on and off by itself. And that's when he died. He hit the tree head on and was thrown from the vehicle and he died instantly. So I figured since he was one of my best friends and we were getting ready to do this podcast, I decided in memory to him, I would start the podcast on his birthday. Now, oddly enough, that's not the only time something like that has happened to me. Within, I would say, 6 months of that happening, I was lying in bed. It was around 2 in the morning. It was just me and Tracy. No one else was at home. We are fast asleep and our surround sound system that we have in the other room just suddenly comes on. It's blaring as loud as it could be, full blast, and we're thinking, what the hell is going on? It's 2 in the morning. We go in there and we turn the surround sound off, or tried to anyway. For some reason after that event, it never turned on again. It never had power again. The next morning, a gentleman that used to be my old boss called me. He let me know that a coworker of ours that I hadn't worked with for like 3 or 4 years, but we were really good friends back in the day, had passed away in his sleep. He was a real good guy. He was a really big guy. It didn't surprise me. I knew he had heart issues in the past, but he was such a good guy. He adopted a couple of kids that had handicaps, and he was just a real loving and caring guy. They called him Big Dave. When I heard this, it was the next morning. I don't know the exact time when he passed away, but I know it was in the middle of the night. And this incident happened at 2 a.m. Different instances when I had electronics go all haywire in the house, and it was in the time when someone was passing away. The final story is titled, Just Stopping By to Say Hello. I had two other incidents that were very recent. Keep in mind, I don't call myself a sensitive, but since I am open enough, these things come around me. For example, on Mother's Day, my mom passed away 10, 11 years ago, and Tracy's mom passed away 2 years ago. The exact same thing happened with our television. It came on for no reason whatsoever. It was amazing that it happened around that time. This past September, before the anniversary of Kevin's passing, we had just started the podcast. On the day that he passed, we had a little TV in the kids' bedroom, and it was coming on by itself. There was no one else in the room. Tracy was home by herself, and she heard the TV go on. She was telling me about it. She told me it happened 3 times. It didn't occur to me at that moment, but that day was the day, the anniversary of his passing. So we had several incidents when things were going on and off by itself. Each time there was a significance behind them. Kevin's death, Big Dave's death, Mother's Day, and Kevin's anniversary of his passing. And then his lovely wife Tracy shared something during this interview, and I would like to just read that as well. Mostly my experiences are seeing shadow people, not as intense as Jerry's. I remember a long time ago, I used to see people at the end of my bed, but I always thought I was just dreaming or something. When I think about it now, it's rather quite amazing. Wow, and I just need to say something that this morning, I asked Tracy for a photo for this cover picture for this episode, and just as I started reading Tracy's story, my phone vibrated just now, and it said Tracy Polly has sent a photo, so that's kind of neat. So Tracy's story is titled, Conversations with Mama Angel. I have a story. My niece's daughter, my mom, passed away a couple of years ago this past March. Emma and my mom always had this special bond. Emma has a sister and a brother, but she always stood out, kind of by herself. Mom always took to her. After she passed away, Emma's mom, Lindsay, would catch Emma just staring into space, talking and mumbling, and Lindsay would say, "Who are you talking to?" And Emma would say, "Mama Angel." That's what she would call her. So apparently her and Emma have conversations all the time. Lindsay's husband's grandfather had passed away. Lindsay got a call at about 6 a.m. Emma walked through the kitchen. She had just got the call, and Emma walks through the kitchen and said, "Do you know Pop Pop just passed away?" Lindsay, shocked, said, "What?" Emma said, "Yeah, Grandpa passed away." It was 2 minutes before that she had gotten the call saying that he passed away. That freaked Lindsay out. It's weird how kids can talk or see things. It's amazing. I don't understand it, but she seems to have that little power. Lindsay is used to it now, I think, because Emma does it all the time. I remember one time my mom and dad, after my grandpa passed away, I remember when I was a kid, my mom jumped up and she saw my grandpa at the end of the bed kind of staring down at them. I know it freaked her out a little bit. It's amazing when you think back at times when you think you're imagining all this stuff, when it probably is really happening. You just don't know it. So those are the things that were shared by this amazing couple. And you know what? The episode is not even close to being over, you guys. So originally when I was doing this episode, I had it all written out. I had everything done. And I was like, you know, I know that there are so many people out there that Jerry and Tracy both touched, that they had a difference in their lives, an impact, if you will. And I was like, I feel like I should ask people if they want to share something about Jerry, whether it's how they met or a funny story or a joke or just a poem or a heartfelt saying, whatever. And I'm glad I did that because this was going to be released last week. but I felt that it's important for people to share things. And there's so many tribute episodes going on dedicated to Jerry Pauly, and rightfully so. He absolutely deserves it. I think it's really important to do that, for sure. And so I'm happy to have so many people part of this episode. A lot of people did write things down for me to share. And so we are going to be doing that right now. And I do have a few recordings as well. In between every person that shares something, I want to add a little bit of Jerry's voiceover. So we still got a little bit of Jerry here.
Any ruler who shall do evil or wickedness to this coffin.
My name is Tim Mullins, a friend of Jerry's. I'll try to keep this short, but I'm known to be long-winded at times, so I apologize now if this becomes one of those times. I guess I'll start from the beginning. I first met Jerry about 4 years ago when I started listening to his podcast. And at the time, I was designing websites as a hobby and side gig. I decided to go check out the Hillbilly Horror Stories website, and I literally laughed when I saw it. It was bad. I reached out to Jerry to discuss his really bad website. In the end, I volunteered to redesign the site, in which he agreed. That started our business relationship, which turned into a friendship. I later started recording and editing his promos for the podcast. Then later, I took over his YouTube page. Somewhere in the middle of that, I had an idea. I thought his episodes were too short, and he did too. But he didn't know how to make them longer. I asked if he thought about maybe adding a 5 or 10 minute skit or audio drama at the end that was maybe Hillbilly Horror Stories related. And he said, "Tim, that's a good idea. How soon can you get me the first one?" Now I was freaking out. I never did anything like that before. But I couldn't tell him no either. Jerry even sent some equipment to record with because I didn't have any equipment. So a month later, I gave him the first episode of a really, really bad audio drama called Hillbilly Horror House. For some unknown reason, his listeners loved it, and together we put out a whole season. One day he called me up and said, "Tim, we need to talk." So I was like, "Sure, how much trouble am I in this time?" He laughed and told me that the audio drama was a huge hit and felt it would be a great show on its own. Jerry helped me get everything set up as far as hosts and all. And that's when Triple H Media was born. We've had this grown and became 41 Studio Productions, and we are now running a new audio drama called Solo, A Zombie Apocalypse. I said all that for this reason. Jerry saw something in me that I had no clue was there. He saw a potential in me and gave me a chance to build on that. He used his platform to help another person build their own podcast, and he never asked for anything in return. Jerry would also be there when I had a question about podcasting. He was always willing to call me or text me when I was having personal or profession issues. Jerry always, and I mean always, put other people first. He is the true definition of modern-day saint. It's an honor to have worked with him, to help him grow the Hillbilly Horror Stories group and community. It was an honor to call him a friend. Jerry will be greatly missed by many, including myself. I will miss his random calls and texts. I will miss the bad jokes and the occasional good ones. Jerry can never be replaced. He was truly one of a kind. I love you, brother. Beautifully written by Tim Mullins. Thank you so much for sharing that. Truly heartfelt words.
He may not accept any goods he offers.
The next person to share is Donna Artis.
Well, I don't even know how. Sorry, it's so hard. You know, it was just so unexpected. And you know, Jerry and Tracy are just... They were the first podcasters that I listened to. And from the very first moment that I even heard the intro song on Hillbilly Horror Stories, I was hooked. And then, you know, Ninja, it always made me laugh. And we finally met them at Bobby Mackey's. They were doing a show there, and we went. And it was absolutely phenomenal. And they are just... he was so down to earth, and Tracy is just such a sweetheart, and the love that they had for each other is just out of this world, and I can't even begin to fathom the pain that Tracy's going through, because we all are going through so much. We know that he is up there, and he is looking down, and he has read and seen all the love that has come out for his wife, for him, for his family, and for everything he did, and for his love for his country, the military, and then the outstanding constant support of mental health help and awareness. There was no shame in anything, and there never should be shame. And he made everybody feel welcome. They both made everybody feel like they were the most important person in the world at that time whenever they were talking to you. You know, at any time of day, they were always available, and they were never out of reach. So in this, Tracy, I just want to send my love and prayers for you. And if you ever need anything, I'm always just a message away, a call away. But you are always in my prayers. And whatever you may need, just know that you have a world of people out here that are here to support you and to lift you up and to be with you during this and in the future. We're not going anywhere, and we love you.
Beautifully said, and you could feel and hear the heartbreak in this woman's voice. So she sent this recording to me, and then she wrote, "This is so amazing that you are doing this. I didn't realize how hard it was going to be to say what my heart feels. It still doesn't feel like enough or the right words, but in these times, what exactly are the right words? There are none." So that was beautifully written as well, and she's right. No words, no actions, no feelings or thoughts will bring him back physically, but spiritually, he is ever so much here. And I know that with my heart.
Heir not inherit.
Hey guys, my name is Annie Weaves. I'm a paranormal investigator and a podcaster from Southern West Virginia. I had the pleasure of knowing Jerry Pauly since 2018. And Tessa, you and I were kind of in the same boat. I knew Jerry because of the podcasting world, and he brought so many of us together. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. He really was one of those people that is like, oh yeah, I know that guy, Jerry.
Everybody knew Jerry. And so when I started my podcast in 2018, Hillbilly Horror Stories I had listened to, and I knew that I wanted to reach out to him. I was really just trying to find my feet in podcasting. And Jerry was just one of those guys that seemed so knowledgeable and was so open to everything that I wanted to reach out to him and see if he would come on my podcast. So the first thing that I remember about Hillbilly Horror Stories, the very first episode that I listened to, I remember two things very specifically. Number one, the very first thing that Jerry and Tracy always did in an episode was thank our military personnel and yes, our civil servants. To me, that was such an important thing. I thought that's such a cool sentiment, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, I love that. I'm a huge military and first responder person myself. And so I did really like that he went out of his way to do that, to thank them.
He always did, which I didn't realize during that first episode. But then the second thing that he did that really caught my attention, he started talking about mental health support, and he shared the National Suicide Hotline number. And I thought, wow, that really resonates with so many people. But what I didn't understand at that point was that they did this in every episode. This was not just a one-off thing. This was the platform that Jerry and Tracy stood on, and they were such proponents for mental health. And a lot of that was because of the things that Jerry encountered in his background. So when he and I connected first in 2018, I reached out to him and I said, "Hey, I'm a brand new podcaster. Would you be willing to come on our podcast?" This was after listening to a few episodes of Hillbilly Horror Stories. And almost immediately, he responded back to me and was like, Yeah, absolutely. When do you want to talk? I didn't realize how special that was at that time. Because at that point, Hillbilly Horror Stories had hundreds of thousands, maybe a million downloads at that point. I didn't realize what a rarity it was in podcasting until, you know, a few years later. I've sent out a lot of messages over the years to other very popular podcasters who have never responded to those messages. So Jerry was always, it was not about Jerry with him. Everything was about connecting other people. It was not about what you had to offer him. It was about what can we give back to you guys.
Right. He genuinely cared. And Tracy, too. I mean, they were two peas in a pod. Like, both of these people were loving, caring. And I had questions about podcasting because it was so foreign to me before I started my podcast 5.5 years ago. And he answered every single question. And it wasn't like a really quick, I'm going to answer everything and let's like stop this. He genuinely cared. He wanted to take his time. He pointed things out. He gave me advice that I still hold near and dear to me and share with others. And you're right. Like, I've tried to approach people before asking them to be on my podcast and never got a response. It shows that they've seen it, but never responded. And like you said, Jerry and Tracy had millions listening. And it's like, yeah, I'm not too good. I'm going to respond to you and I'm going to make you feel like you matter because you do. And that's just like the kind of people they both were, for sure.
Jerry was not about Jerry. Jerry was about the bigger picture for everybody. And I think that speaks volumes to his life when you kind of put the whole thing into perspective. I remember thinking, you know, the first few times that I listened to Hillbilly Horror Stories, yeah, we all came there for the paranormal stories, right? But there are a lot of paranormal podcasts. People came to Hillbilly Horror Stories for the stories, but they stayed because of Jerry and Tracy.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry and Tracy built this beautiful community online amongst all of these people who a lot of them wanted someone to talk to. They wanted someone to share their thoughts with. And Jerry and Tracy were always available for people. Jerry was such a huge proponent for mental health because of the things that he had experienced in his life. You know, he was very candid in talking about his struggles with depression. And when he wrote his book, I think in 2020, From Hell to High Water, Jerry is very candid about his own suicide attempt. And he really built this community of people by saying, hey, we love you guys. We are always available for you. They gave out their own personal cell phone numbers for people when they didn't have anybody else. These are the people that Jerry and Tracy are. And I say are because his legacy is going to live on in all of those people that are still in this community. They stayed because of Jerry and Tracy, because they built this family within this community when people really needed it. And in a society where mental health is downplayed, downgraded, still stigmatized, is such a huge thing. And that's really what drew me to him. And actually, in my opinion, the reason that he and I had kind of a paranormal experience of our own a few years back. So, you know, Jerry and I really, we connected in 2018. Over the years, you know, he was on my podcast. I was on Hillbilly Horror Stories. I had two opportunities to speak at their live events in West Virginia, which now is such, you know, I hold those memories even closer now because I had that physical time with them.
Yeah.
And you realize that in person, they are exactly who they are in that podcast. They're that loving. They are that supportive. And so I'm always going to treasure those physical moments that we had together. But Jerry, when you talk to Jerry about the paranormal, you know, we had a lot of paranormal conversations over the years. But I think Jerry was probably the first one to step up and be like, I don't know what the afterlife is going to be like. Is there an afterlife? Is there not an afterlife? I hope there is. I've had these experiences. But if you ask me what my opinion is going to be of the afterlife, I don't think he would say, I really don't have one. I guess I'll figure it out when I get there, which was probably just part of his humor. But I really think that Jerry was much more in tune with spirit, with the paranormal, with something else that maybe he didn't even realize. And he and I had an experience a few years back that made me feel that way. And then about a year later, had a second experience that made me realize this guy is really special. He has this intuition about people, which again, I think is part of what drew people to him and to Tracy and to Hillbilly Horror Stories. So a few years back, I was going through a really difficult time personally. I was really down in the dumps. I knew that there were some very big decisions that I had to make, and I was really kind of depressed about the whole thing. Mm. I had taken a step back from paranormal investigating and podcasting and was really doing some introspective work. I really had not told many people at all about what my experiences were. And it wasn't until much later that I realized that a lot of this was probably postpartum depression from having my daughter in 2020.
Yeah.
So there was that element. There was the personal element of, you know, this storm kind of building in my life and knowing that I had to make decisions. I really hadn't discussed that with anybody. There were very few, you know, just a couple of close friends within proximity of me and a couple of close family members that knew what were going on. And I hadn't talked to Jerry in a few months, probably. You know, we would touch base via Facebook. But in the midst of this, I woke up one morning to a message from Jerry that just said, "Hey, are you okay?" And I responded back to him and I said, "Yeah, I'm all right. Are you okay?" And he said, "I had a very vivid dream about you last night. Oh. And I dreamt that you were not okay and that you were in a very dark place. And I woke up worried about you."
Oh, wow.
And I was like, "Are you freaking kidding me?" And I said, "Well, you know, if we kind of want to go into detail about it, there are some things happening right now." And I said, "What exactly did you dream?" Because I am not lying to you when I say that he almost verbatim spit out exactly what was going on in my life.
No way. Wow. I just got chills, Weebs.
And
I got chills.
I messaged him back and I was like, I was completely open with him at that point because there was no reason to hide it. He obviously knew for whatever reason, something sent me to him or him to me in spirit that said, "Hey, she needs you right now."
Wow.
And I blurted it all out. And I put it all out on the line. I told him exactly. I was like, "Jerry, you couldn't be more right about all of this. And I haven't told people because I'm still working through this personally, trying to, you know, just kind of figure out how to put it all together." And he messaged me back and he was like, "That's okay. I knew that something was going on. I knew that you weren't okay. And I love you. And I'm always here for you if you need me."
Uh-huh.
And I thought, how special is that, number one, for anybody to reach out to you in that capacity? But for Jerry to have been able to do it, I thought, maybe this is what drew people to him. He had that kind of intuitive, nurturing ability about him. That even if you saw him in person, Jerry was kind of like this larger-than-life personality, but in a very subtle way.
Yeah.
He would hug you. He would tell you that he loved you, but then he could also make a snide remark or a joke about something. And you don't even realize that he's joking about it until he got that kind of like little smirk on his face. It was always in kind of this very like underhanded, understated way. And I think that a lot of people thought that, you know, that was not all that Jerry was, but he had this fun persona, but deep in him, there was something very nurturing that drew a lot of people to him. And so he really kind of kept tabs on me for a while after that.
Right.
And I told him what was going on. Within about a year of that, I had another difficult period of my life. One of my best friends died from COVID in December of 21. And when he passed, it was this overwhelming sense of grief of like, how do you move past this? It's one of those things that like when you wake up in the morning, it's the first thing that's on your mind.
Right.
And I really struggled with grief and how to process it. He wasn't just one of my best friends. He was married to my lifelong best friend. And they had two daughters when he passed that were very young teenagers. And so I'm navigating my own grief at this point while trying to help my best friend, you know, support her navigate the grief and the changes in her life and in her daughter's lives. And I was just completely, totally overwhelmed. But leading up to his passing, I had a couple of paranormal experiences that I fully believed after he passed were him talking to me from another dimension. And it struck me after he passed, because he died from COVID, that there were so many people who were struggling in that same way. Think about all the people who passed away very early on in COVID,
yeah,
that their families didn't get to be with them when they were sick. They right. didn't even let them have funerals. So these people yeah. They never got to grieve properly. It was just kind of like one minute your loved one is there and the next minute that they're gone. And I thought, how overwhelming. The overwhelming grief that I felt, and we still, you know, we got to bury my friend. We got to have a funeral for him. But if my grief was that overwhelming, how are some of these other people processing it that didn't have the ability to even grieve in the way that I did? And so within a few months of his passing, I felt like I needed to tell that story to somebody. Like it was just so heavy on my heart. I thought, I need to tell this story to somebody because I feel like in sharing my grief and my paranormal experiences about his passing, maybe it's going to help somebody else. If it just reaches one person that it resonates with, then that's all that matters. That's the only reason that I have to share it. And the first person that I wanted to talk to was Jerry. Mm-hmm. He was the only person that popped into my brain that I thought, I want to tell him the story. He can get that story out there to the masses. And if it means something to somebody, if it helps somebody, then it's going to happen. And so I messaged Jerry. This was within about 3 months of my friend passing. And I said, hey, you know that my friend died. I had a couple of paranormal experiences leading up to his passing. I feel like I need to tell this story. And you were the person that popped into my mind. He asked zero questions about any of it. His only response was, when do you want to record? That was it.
No.
And I said, okay. We set a time. He asked me if he could record video, which we had done in the past, but not regularly. And I was like, yeah, that's fine. But fair warning, I'm probably going to cry through the entire thing. So yeah. If you want to put it out to the masses, it's not going to be pretty. He didn't really detail what he was going to do, but we did the interview. And within just a few days, he messaged me back and he was like, I put this into a video format. And he said, I'm going to release it as a podcast, but I'm also going to release it to our YouTube page because I feel like this is something that people are going to want to hear. And I didn't have any idea that he was going to do that. So he even went a step beyond to put together this beautiful video that was almost like a tribute to this story that I wanted to tell. And within hours of him putting that out there, he starts sending me messages from people.
Aww.
Saying basically they had been through the same thing and they didn't know how to grieve. And it just was an eye-opening thing for them to see that other people were kind of feeling the same way, grieving in the same way that they didn't know how to grieve. And Jerry said, hey, if you are willing to talk to these people, I'm going to start fielding these messages to you. And I was like, absolutely, filled them all to me. And I got to talk to so many people who had very similar experiences to mine. And it was all because of Jerry. And it didn't profit him anything to do that. This was not about Jerry. It was about something bigger than all of that. Jerry and Tracy love everybody with this unconditional love that literally knows no boundaries. And in everything that he did, he showed that to us. And it continues to live on through the podcast group now and through all these people who are so willing and ready to tell their stories about Jerry and just honor him for the person that he was and for the legacy that he left behind for all of us.
That was beautifully said. And that's one amazing example of how he did things not for him, not for his own podcast, but just truly because he cared. And that's amazing. And I know there's just so many other, probably countless stories from so many individuals that he has touched them in a certain way as well.
I know that my story is just a drop in the bucket, but that is what Jerry meant to me. It's what Tracy continues to mean for all of us. And so I think if I could say anything to any of your listeners, you know, I think about what would Jerry say? WWJD at this point, what would Jerry do, right?
I like it. Yep. Right.
I'm going to make a bracelet that says, what would Jerry do, WWJD? There's somebody out there who's probably going to be offended by that. But it's something that Jerry would find funny, right? I can almost hear him laughing in my brain. You know, if there's anything that we can do to support Tracy, to keep Jerry's memory alive, is number one, we got to continue to support Tracy, because in this time that, you know, they have been there for us in so many times.
Right.
And never asked for anything in return.
Correct.
The only thing that we can do for Tracy right now is be there for her in the same capacity. Whether it is love through financial donations, whether it is love through prayers, text messages, voicemails, whatever we are willing and able to send her at this point, we've got to lift Tracy up right now and give her the support that she and Jerry have shown us for so many years. On top of that, I wrote a small tribute to Jerry and posted it on Facebook on Thanksgiving morning when he passed. And I said, if Jerry could say anything to us right now, for goodness sakes, it's just to continue to love one another, to continue that love that he and Tracy built within that community. Love each other unconditionally, build each other up, support each other, continue to talk about mental health and mental well-being. He was such a proponent for that. Jerry really spent the last few years of his life doing the best thing that he could for humanity in the way that he knew how. And he made a difference to so many people. There are so many people that I know today because of Jerry, and I'm so grateful for that in my life. The only thing that we can do now is continue that love. Don't forget that love, because that's all that Jerry and Tracy have been to us over the years.
I got chills. Yeah, no, that's a beautiful, beautiful tribute. Thank you for sharing that. Like we were talking about earlier, that was just like one of those very sweet things that was a regular thing on their podcast episodes, was like the military and mental health and the suicide number. If you could make the difference of one person who needs to hear that and they're listening on my podcast, I'll like give out the suicide number if I'm talking about suicide, but it's not in every episode kind of thing. But, you know, I had one person reach out and say that her daughter listened to the episode and that her daughter was suicidal and that her daughter had told her that it meant so much that somebody had said that, you know, like, here's the number, you're not alone. Again, it, just that one person, you know, if you could help one individual. But I know, obviously, these two people, Tracy and Jerry, they have helped so many people and continue to do so.
You never know who's going to be listening, right? You never know who's out there on the other side of that who needs a single word of encouragement to get through their day. And that might make all the difference to them. If Jerry could say anything at this point, it's to continue that. continue that love for everybody, continue caring for everybody, whether you know them or you don't know them. Treat everybody like a family member. You know, give somebody, I can't remember which episode it was. Somebody played this not long after he passed, but he said, you know, you never know what somebody is going through today. So talk to a stranger, say hello in the grocery line. Ask them how they're doing today. You never know. That person may go home and be totally alone in their lives. You may be the only human interaction that that person sees today. Treat them with kindness. Treat them with humanity and love and humility, because that may be the only speck of that that they get in a day.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, that's, you know, I mean, you don't know what people are going through or what they're feeling. And that is very true. Sometimes you just have people who are just like so isolated. And like you said, like you're the only person they've talked to that day. And so I feel it's us talking about this and about Jerry and the suicide. Let's do that suicide hotline right now for those who are listening who need help. 1-800-273-8255. Weebs, I have to say, I have a tab and it says suicide and the phone number. And like, my dad will be on the computer with me looking up something. He's like, suicide? What's wrong? It seems like everybody that looks at my computer with me, like if they're trying to show me something or they're just like hanging out with me, they're like, oh my God, are you okay? And I'm like, yes, yes, it's my podcast. It's, you know, I always throw that number out there. I feel like I know it by heart, but yeah, I have it right here. So I just have to, you know, so again, everybody, 1-800-273-8255. That was for you, Jerry.
That was for you, Jerry. We love you so much. Tracy, we continue to love you and to cherish everything that you and Jerry have created over the years. Guys, please continue to listen to Hillbilly Horror Stories.
Yes.
I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I do know that their Facebook moderator, Tim Mullins, released something as of today, December the 6th, just to kind of keep everybody updated as to what was going on. There is a memorial for Jerry's life happening on December the 29th. It's in Louisville. And Tim did give the address for the location where they're having Jerry's memorial. He recorded his own eulogy, y'all. So just be ready for whatever happens if you hear it. But Tracy did mention that they were considering live streaming for that. So just kind of keep tabs on Hillbilly Horror Stories, whether you're listening to the podcast or you are in their Facebook group. I really want to hear what Jerry wrote for his own eulogy.
Me too.
I don't know why it already makes me laugh, which seems like an awkward thing to do in this situation. But again, probably what he intended.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a mixture of things. I'm sure it's going to be a good portion of sarcasm and some maybe inappropriate, hilarious jokes.
Couple of dirty jokes.
Right? I mean, yeah. You got to throw those dirty jokes in there. And I think there's going to be some heartfelt stuff as well. But I think that it's important to have this kind of thing. Celebration of life. I love celebration of life because I've been to so many funerals in my day and I usually read, like I'll go up there and I'll like read, I'll do eulogies, I'll do different things. But I love afterwards where we all hang out and we tell funny stories about the person. Sometimes you're laughing till you're crying. You know, you're having a good, healthy laugh when your side is aching.
Right.
And I think that I know that Jerry will not disappoint. Like I heard too that he was going to be doing his own eulogy. Tracy did a video and she was talking about that. And I was like, that is so clever.
That's very Jerry. You know, he probably would have, you know, if there was any way that he could have prepared anything, I'm sure that that was, you know, the only contribution that he wanted to make. But yeah, it's, if anybody, I know that Tim said today on the podcast for people who would be interested in going, if they can just reach out in the Facebook group. I think they're trying to anticipate how many people are going to be there, probably just because of the size of the area that they're going to be in. But keep Jerry's memory alive. Laugh about him. tell his stories, tell his stupid, dirty jokes. that's what he would have wanted. And like you said, let's make it a celebration of his life. It's in our innate human nature to be sad about all of this. And yes, it was a very sad Thanksgiving when we learned that he passed. But right. I think it's very poignant that he passed on Thanksgiving. A very close friend of mine pointed this out, you know, a couple of days after he passed. And she said, Annie, I didn't know him personally, but she said, I knew him through you and through a number of other podcasting friends. And it feels very poignant that he passed on Thanksgiving, because what Jerry would have wanted us to remember is what we have to be grateful for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I had talked to you about this, but a week before Jerry passed away, I was dealing with the loss of a family member of mine. And she had lost her son several years ago. And that's one thing that I'm a huge believer that when somebody dies, they're reunited with their loved ones that aren't here anymore. Mm-hmm. And part of me that was keeping me sane was, okay, Toni is now with her son, Kevin. And that's yeah. huge. And for me, as like, I don't know why, but like when I knew that Jerry was no longer here, I saw him with Ninja.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because yeah. that dog was always with them. He was like the mascot. And then when he was gone, it was like heartbreaking. It was like a furry, beloved family uh-huh. member. And I truly made me smile that he, I mean, I know like there's human beings that he's with too, but I mean, I really just thought of that sweet dog.
That's so funny. So when my daughter was born, I don't know, she was probably 5 or 6 months old. I got this package in the mail and it was from Jerry and Tracy, and it was a Hillbilly Horror Stories onesie.
What?
And, yes. And it was, their logo at the time had Ninja in it. And it's like Ninja in like a little straw cowboy hat. And that forever has been in her. I have this box of like all of her most beloved baby stuff.
Yes.
And it's there, and it will absolutely stay there forever, because now Ninja and Jerry are memorialized on a baby onesie.
You need to frame that bad boy.
I do.
You really do.
I need to get it out of there now. And anytime I ever went through my daughter's things, I said, there are certain things that you cannot get rid of.
Right.
And that was one of them. And I have a picture of her in it that, oddly enough, within a few days of Jerry getting sick, randomly popped up on my Facebook memories, and had never popped up on my Facebook memories before.
Oh, wow.
So maybe Jerry reaching out again just to say hello and I'm still here.
Right. Oh, that's amazing. I know that there are just so many people that he touched, and it'll be interesting to hear and see more of these stories accumulate.
Yeah, and I think they'll start to come out, you know, over the weeks and the months of his passing, after the shock and the sadness kind of starts to wear off. I think that people will start to share these stories, but continue to share them. Continue to share your love and your stories and your memories with Tracy, because right now, that happiness and that joy, that's what's going to get her through this time.
Right. She absolutely needs that. And I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Well, Weebs, thank you so much for being part of this beautiful tribute episode.
Absolutely. Anything for you, anything for Jerry. I love both of you. Let's keep doing this for him, right?
Absolutely.
Any ruler who shall do evil or wickedness to this coffin, may human not accept any goods he offers, and may his heir not inherit.
Next up is Bill Stark. He says, unfortunately, I never got a chance to meet him or really get to know him. I am so sorry for his loss. He is a pioneer and inspiration. I am so sad to hear this news. And next up is Amber Polly. This is Jerry's beloved daughter. And this is what she had to share. Like many people, my dad shaped me into the person I am today, and I certainly did not make it easy on him. With patience, love, and understanding, he somehow managed to make sure I turned out all right. As much as it hurts to lose him, I feel so grateful that I had the chance to be his daughter for 31 years. My dad was funny. He was kind. He was empathetic. He was a hopeless romantic, and he was a dreamer. He put his all into everything that he did, including being a father. I think making people laugh was his favorite thing of all. His witty remarks and dark sense of humor has, fortunately, been passed down to all of his children. I can't speak for my siblings because all children experience a different parent growing up. I was the only girl, so I probably got a different version of him than my brothers did. But the man I knew and loved taught me that, above all else, I am deserving. The impact that has made in all aspects of my life is incredible. I will miss him every single day for the rest of my life, but I will continue to work my butt off to be the person he always knew that I could be. And then she did share two cards that he had written her. One is, "Amber, I could not be more proud of the woman you have become. There isn't a day goes by that I don't think about how you turned your life around. I love you. Jerry, Dad." The other letter, the card itself said, "Daughter, keep making every year your own kind of blessing. So proud of you and the woman you are. Happy birthday with love." And then he himself wrote, "Happy birthday to the most beautiful thing I ever made. Love you, Dad." Just that, being a daddy's girl myself, that just makes my heart just hurt. And I'm so sorry that you lost your father, Amber. I really, truly am. Next up is from Brandon Ayers, and he wrote, "What can I say about Jerry? Well enough, though I never met him in person, he made me feel like I truly knew him through the podcast and the group. I never got to tell him how much he helped me through some trying times in my life without him even knowing it, just by his kind words on the podcast and in the group. Jerry, you will be forever missed, but you will always be with us. You were truly a great man. Godspeed, my friend, until we meet again." Next up is Jerry's beloved stepson, Tracy's sweet son, Josh Peluso. And this is what he had to share. "I think when I think of Jerry, that he was selfless. He was selfless when it came to strangers, and especially selfless when it came to my mom. Jerry is my mom's person. He made every day special for her, and it didn't matter what situation they were ever in, Jerry always pulled the rabbit out of the hat. If there was ever a couple who were truly meant for each other, it was those two, and I will never be able to repay him for the life that he gave her. I admire Jerry for being the dreamer and the giver that he was, and I hope to one day be half the man that he was." Again, that was just beautifully written. It's heartfelt. You could feel the love. And you know, it's hard sometimes being a step-parent, I'm sure, and being a step-child. Sometimes they just don't coexist. Sometimes there's just friction and you can't get along. I am so glad that Josh had that amazing relationship with Jerry, where that wasn't stepdad, that was dad, you know? You could feel the love. You could feel the joy. You could tell that this man had such an impact on his stepson being Josh. So thank you, Josh, for sharing that. That's just amazing. And thank you for your kind words. Next up is Rebecca Polly Jones. This is Jerry's little sister. And she wrote, "Jerry was an amazing person and the best big brother. He loved helping people." And now up is Andrea Cunningham. And this is what she had to say. "What can I say about Jerry? I found Hillbilly Horror Stories in 2017, and I was instantly hooked. Jerry and Tracy's episodes helped me through so many tough times in my life. They were a wonderful constant I could count on. I love how they both cared for others while bringing amazing stories to us, so fascinated by the paranormal. I got divorced in 2020, and even through the pandemic, they were again one uplifting moment in my week back then. I became Facebook friends with Jerry, Tracy, and Kristen very quickly, and we'd share some John Lennon posts and always said we'd meet in person one day. I missed my chance, but I'll never forget how Jerry made me feel so uplifted and happy, even through such tough times. Knowing a love like he had with Tracy existed keeps me going, knowing I'll have that too. We'll miss you, Jerry. Rest easy, sweet friend. Can't wait to see you on the other side someday. Love, Andrea. Now we have Michael Patrick Hobie II, and he wrote this. Jerry was one of a kind. I started listening to Hillbilly Horror Stories podcast in early 2017 when they first began. From the very first episode, Jerry Pauly's warmth and genuine nature drew me in. When I was struggling with my drinking, I reached out to him and he responded with such kindness and understanding. He didn't just offer advice. He provided real solutions and showed me how my drinking was affecting not just me, but everyone around me. His words were a lifeline during some of my darkest times. As he helped me, he helped many others in dark times, helped others start their podcasts, and was there in great times. Jerry had an incredible way of making people feel seen and heard, even if he had never met them in person. He accepted everyone with open arms, making each of us feel like old friends. The Facebook group that he created is a testament to the love and community he fostered. It's a place filled with support and positivity, a true reflection of his spirit. Jerry and his wife Tracy have touched so many lives with their kindness and dedication. Though Jerry may no longer be with us, his legacy will live on forever in the hearts of those he helped and the community he built. His impact is immeasurable, and I am forever grateful for the guidance and friendship he offered. Thank you, Michael, for sharing that, and I'm so happy that he was able to help you during some of the darkest times of your life. And we're seeing that and hearing that a lot, that he was just always there for people, no matter what. Both him and Tracy, like I said, two peas in a pod, just wonderful, loving people. And finally, you're going to be hearing from Brett Stefanoff. And sorry if I butchered that last name. He has his own podcast, and when I asked him if he wanted to share anything about the amazing Jerry Pauly, he wanted to share his episode. So this is what Brett had to share.
This is the Evil Never Dies podcast with Brett and Carl. This podcast may contain adult themes, violence, and strong language. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey everybody, how's it going? I'm doing a little bonus episode today for remembering our buddy Jerry Pauly, who passed away Thanksgiving morning after heart complications. Very sad time. We were going to do this last week, but it was still a little fresh.
It was fresh, and you also had computer problems, and we didn't want to screw it up.
Exactly. So
we just sort of just skipped over it last week, and it sort of felt the right thing to do for, it was too soon.
Yep, too soon, for sure. Yeah, if you guys aren't Facebook friends with either Carl or I, or aren't in the group, then if you don't know Jerry and his wife Tracy were the host of the Hillbilly Horror Stories podcast. Big following. People have shown him a lot of love in the last little over a week. So, and I wanted to give a shout out to Tim Mullins especially. He really stepped up and kept everybody informed in their group, because that group is huge. So the girl who does our little intro,
Natasha,
she started that group back in, I think, 2017, 2016. That group's been around for a long time. There's over 5,000 people, maybe more than that in it now. It's an awesome group.
I think that group is going to be Jerry's legacy. I think Tim even said that.
Yeah, for sure.
And Tracy said she wants the group to continue. So people need to, if you're not a part of it, you might want to look into it. I mean, exactly. They do a lot of stuff on that group that has nothing to do with paranormal.
Yeah, for sure. It's a place to go for help if you need to talk to somebody.
It's a support group.
Yep, it's a big support group, you know, 5,000-6,000 people strong. So like Jerry always says, it's okay not to be okay. Talk to somebody, you know, if you need somebody to talk to. That group is the place to go for that. Yeah, at the beginning of every episode, they talked about that, you know, mental health issues and supporting the troops and police officers and all the first responders. Before they even start their show, that's what they talk about. So, yeah, good people. Jerry is definitely going to be missed. He's a big mentor to me for sure. He's the one that I got the idea about even doing a podcast. Messaged him and asked him about it. And he's like, well, yeah, that's very unique, you know, what you guys want to do. So. And he said, go for it. So here we are, 300 and something episodes later. So,
yeah, I think he was really proud of what you did, too. You know, he'd been on our show several times.
Yep.
You know, recently him and Tracy came on and did a movie review.
Yeah.
So I think he was proud of you and everything you accomplished with it. I really do.
But I appreciate everything he did for me. He taught me how to run all the editing software and all that. One night we were on here for like 2 hours. He was teaching me how to do it, you know, just over Messenger. So
that's the kind of guy he was. So
exactly.
I'm hoping that people will step up and keep his stuff going too. Somebody needs to be there for people, and you know, people are gonna have to step up now.
Exactly.
That otherwise haven't, because they depended on Jerry, and now that void's gonna have to be filled, and that's what he would want big time.
Exactly.
Now, just me, you know, I wasn't a big fan of any podcast. You know, when Brett told me to do, he told me to listen to them, and I'm like, well, if they're on YouTube, I'd be more willing to do it. And you know, obviously, they are the reason this show got started. And I've always laughed and said, I don't listen to podcasts, but here I am, you know.
Exactly.
So, you know, I've been kind of more pushing toward the YouTube, which we've been very successful at. And I think, you know, Jerry had me on his show as a guest twice.
Yeah. How was that?
It was good, you know. And I was telling him everything about the Baker Hotel. He's like, well, I'm going to move you to our Sunday show. You're actually going to be a main episode. And I'm like, oh, okay. And for me, it's sad. I was telling him about my grandmother's house, and he's like, well, you need to come on and tell me about that. And I was like, okay, I'll do it later. One night, he posted in the group, hey, if anybody wants to come on and tell some stories, message me. And I'm like, I should do that. But I didn't, and now I regret it. I really do, because that would have been something I think he would have liked to hear. And he seemed generally interested in hearing it, you know.
He does everybody's stories.
Yeah. You
know, he's got thousands of episodes of that, of just listener stories, people calling in and stuff and writing in.
The thing I noticed about Jerry is he seemed to treat everybody as an equal, even though, you know, we're really nobodies in this podcast, YouTube world, and he was a somebody, but he treated us just like we were all equal.
Yep, exactly.
And he was I think somebody cloned the term podfather instead of godfather.
Yeah, I think that was our buddy Todd.
Yeah, and you know, Todd and Sean and Jimbo and Tim, you know, they're sort of our family. And again, that's because of Jerry. And
exactly. Just not them. I've just met so many people. My friend Tanya Bruce.
I'm like antisocial. I don't get on much. Yeah. You have met a lot of people, and you're very much in the whole podcast community big time, Brett.
Yeah. I was on Jerry's show a long time ago. I told him that story about when I lived over there on what's her name?
Oh, that lady that's now haunting your... It's about time for the hauntings to start over there, actually.
Yeah, it's the 1st of December.
Yep.
Let's not.
Let's do it.
I already got people trying to break
in your house, break or open your window at least, Jim.
But anyway.
So what's the deal with the dimes? I'm not real... up on that one?
Well, the first, this is this thing. It was their episode from, I think it was not their the last episode they put out, but the one before. It's been a couple of weeks ago. I was listening to it, and when he started, he had mentioned that his one of his neighbors had passed away, and he was talking to the lady's husband, and you know, and he knew that Jerry was all into the paranormal and stuff, and Jerry told him, you know, he asked how would she communicate with me, and he's like, well, if you start finding dimes in places that you wouldn't normally find them. And right then, I was listening on my way to work, and right then I pulled up to the gas pump and turned off my truck. I got opened up the truck door and looked down, and there was a dime right there. So I messaged him. I said, dude, I'm not going to believe this. Told him the story. You know what his response was?
What?
Make sure you claim that on your taxes.
That sounds like him. I remember when we did that movie review, he was like, yeah, this movie is just total shit. I'm like, well, you could have picked something else. He's like, nah, this is fine.
I like the, out of all the podcasts, we're one of them. I'm putting that clip. I'm going to add that clip in at the end of this.
But, he did say that, didn't he?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he was a stand-up comedian, so
yep.
A lot of funny. He was a funny dude.
Yes, he was.
Sure. I wish I'd have known him better than all you guys did, but like I said, the few times I interacted with him, he treated me very fair and very equal, and I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, and he's got a very dark sense of humor, too.
Well, so do I.
And you could actually tell that from his other podcast that he started with Amanda, warning you'll be offended. And I actually wrote 3 or 4 fucked up stories to that he read over the air, that he read. Talking about poop and stuff, lots of poop stories.
Oh, Lord. I've got a Kiss shirt on because I don't have a hillbilly horror story.
Yeah, I got
shirt.
My hillbilly. You can still get one. I encourage everybody
to
go
visit. You
know what
I really want? He was going to send me a book and he forgot, so I need to order me an actual paper copy of the book.
I got me a copy.
Yeah, but he seemed to be a big fan of Kiss. He liked hearing me tell Kiss stories.
That book's so good. I actually read his book.
And you don't read shit.
I don't. And he also played it on the podcast. He read it on the podcast over like 3 or 4 episodes. He'd do like a chapter, an episode.
Wow.
It was actually better hearing him actually read it with his voice. It was awesome. Yeah, when they had their live show here in Dallas, I went down there.
You were like, you need to go. I'm like, I don't even know who these people are. I don't know if I should go or not. And I wish I had. How was it seeing them live? You never really.
It was awesome. This is awesome as shit. This story I'm going to tell right now.
You're not supposed to be cussing.
Well, I done told Jimbo because this is going to go on Jimbo's show for the Christmas show. So
I apologize, Jimbo, for his.
Well, anyway, I got there early and they were just pulling up and he was just starting to unload his truck. I said, hey, Jerry, you know, well, nice to meet you and whatever. I was like, yeah, you need a hand hauling everything, because he had the big speaker, PA speakers and stuff, and all their merch and stuff like that. And he's like, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you're here to help. No, I don't have to do all this shit. And then
like some of the musicians I've known over the years.
And then
you need any help? And yeah, I've heard that. But yeah, that's funny.
And then we're hooking the stuff up, and I would do something. I'd hook it in. I'd move the speaker over, you know. And he'd be like, no, that's not where that goes. It's got to be right here. And he'd move it like just a half an inch.
Makes a difference, dude.
I'm like, man, what's going on here, man? And finally, after it was all said and done, he's like, man, I was just messing with your ass.
I've had that done to me, too.
Then I got him back, though. I screwed up Leslie Fear's intro. He goes, man, I'm going to have you intro Leslie, okay? And I'm like, oh, cool, what do I got to do, you know? I messed it up. We had to restart it. I think he was sort of pissed off about that. But I got him back for messing with me, so.
Well, you never know. He might not have been messing with you. He might have just felt bad for being mean to you and just like, no big deal. because these guys take their audio serious.
Well, I do too, but just the way he did it, though, he just moved.
Brett, I would love to tell Jerry the fact that you've been sitting in front of a microphone for how long, and you've been using the damn computer mic all this time.
No, not all this time. It switched when I hooked up the new computer. Yeah.
You're talking to a mic that was muted.
Nope.
I still think my mic might be going
out. Just the last two episodes. But everything's copacetic now. But anyway, I suggest everybody still going and listening to their back catalog and downloading a bunch of episodes. Start from episode one before Tracy was even on the show. And I totally suggest checking them out. Jerry put on a good, and Tracy put on a great show, man.
They did. There's no doubt about it. Every time I did listen, I enjoyed it. I just don't get in. I don't really go to podcasts much because I'm at work all at a desk all day, and I don't have a chance to hear audio. And when I go to lunch, which is, you know, just an hour, but you know, it takes me 7 minutes to drive home from work, so I'm not in my car a lot except on the weekends. And half the time, I got the grandkids with me, so we're playing music or something.
Well, I didn't even listen to podcasts either until I started driving my driving job.
Yeah,
you
got a lot of driving.
And I just searched on Spotify. I just typed in horror.
That's how you found them.
That's how I found them.
That's too cool.
I was like, hillbilly horror stories. What's
I know. When you told me that, I'm like, I don't want to listen to some hillbilly telling a horror story. And that's not what it was. I don't know where they come up with that name. How did he get that name?
That's what he picked. But
I don't consider Jerry a hillbilly in any sense of the word.
Oh, Jerry's a hillbilly, man. He's from Kentucky.
No, I just say it. I never really got that vibe from him. But, you know, I'm from Texas, so I probably wouldn't get a vibe. You're more of a hillbilly than anybody I know, and you're from Illinois.
I'm an Illinois hillbilly. Yeah, I think that's why me and Jerry got along so good, because, you know, a lot in common, right? Same age. A lot of the grew up with listening to the same music, you know, stuff like that. Jerry's a big Beatles fan. Yeah. Dark sense of humor for sure. And yeah, he'd send me just some messed up stuff over Messenger sometimes. I just shake my head like, thanks, Jerry Pauly. Needed that. I always got a smile for sure. Yeah, you will be missed, brother, for sure. Gonna post the link to the GoFundMe to help Tracy out. Who knows
what
her...
Give a dollar.
Dollar.
You know, if everybody gave a dollar, that would be a big help, so...
Exactly.
You know, no.
We got like eight shirts left. We got
eight shirts
left. Thanks to all the people that have bought them so far. And all that money is going to get to Tracy also. Buy a shirt for sure.
Yeah, any Evil Never Dies podcast shirt will, profits go directly to Tracy. So that is going until we run out of shirts. So
eight left.
Getting low.
I think I got
eight left.
Yeah, I think I got four large and four extra large. So
there you go. Those are the key sizes most people want too. So
all right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to us. Remember our friend, and we will talk to you later.
Well, there we go. That was a beautiful tribute episode. And good job, gentlemen. Wonderful job. Could feel the love for sure. And Jerry does live on through that legacy. He lives on through his children, through his stepchildren, through his wife, through his family, friends, and fans worldwide, the people that he helped. There are so many people like myself that he was our mentor when it came to podcasting. So many podcasts are out there because of Jerry, and that is amazing. So if you go on to my episode description, you will see there will be a GoFundMe page that if you want to help out, you can. Whether it's a couple bucks or more, everything helps. Everything matters. And again, like Annie said, thoughts and prayers, even if it's a thought and prayer to Tracy and the family, that is obviously welcomed as well. And let's keep Hillbilly Horror Stories alive by keep continuing on listening. I was looking through my messages that I had back and forth with Jerry throughout the years. And there was one point where we were just talking about like different things. And one thing that he had shared with me, which is so incredibly sweet, he said, "I have granted 3 wishes for Make-A-Wish. I've done more comedy shows for charity in my career, including for Every Christmas for orphanages and Center for Women and Families for Abused Women. I even got an award in 2008 for my charity work." And it's not like he was bragging about that, even though all of these things are freaking phenomenal. But just the fact that he had done so much good, so many things, and this is just a tiny mere handful. This was just like one in the middle of one of our conversations that we were having with each other. And then another thing was is that he had a friend, a very good friend of his, that committed suicide. And I had called the day that it happened. And he wrote me back a few days later, or, you know, a few weeks later, and this is what he had to say. "This is a few weeks coming, and I apologize. You left us a beautiful voice message a few weeks ago when our friend committed suicide, and I meant to call you that very day. I know you might have thought that I either ignored it or it didn't mean enough to comment on, but I can assure you that was not the case. I was deeply touched that you not only took the time to call, but how concerned and sweet you were. I'm so very glad to call you a friend, Tessa. I am here if you ever need anything, and that's a promise. We love you." And that's just the kind of person that Jerry was. Like, he had just lost a friend, a dear friend, in such a horrible way, that being suicide. And he felt the need, okay, I'm going to respond to her. I'm going to acknowledge her. And I am so sorry that I didn't reach back out to you and how much it meant that you did reach out to us. And of course I said, "Oh my God, Jerry, please don't apologize. Like, I've lost people to suicide before and I know the feeling. It's like your world is turned upside down." You know, there were times when people would call me and I would not answer the phone. And so just the, like, you know, that weeks later he responded to me just goes to show what kind of person Jerry was. He was just such a caring and loving individual. And Tracy too. Jerry, Polly, may you rest in peace. You are sorely, sorely missed. And again, I'm very interested in to hear what you wrote for your eulogy, because that you're an inspiration, my man, because I'm going to do that for me too, write my own eulogy. Again, my thoughts and prayers go to the Polly family and to the Peluso family and just everybody. Rest in peace, my dear, dear friend. We love you, Jerry. Open wide thine arms of love. Oh.